We don't want to do the whole full-blown road. We just want to put it back in the
No, Jim.
We'll call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:46. We will recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda: number one, general agenda; two, approve minutes of the meeting held December 9, 2015. Approve all claims through December 23, 2015 in the amount of $999,838.19, except claim number 15120151 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $495.75. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Monty Merkel to the Planning and Zoning Board for another new term. Approve utility permit number 1039. 10. I don't know what happened there. One.
The name of it.
Well, it's one. One as O N E and then O K N period system. Open up a 20 foot by 20 foot by 4 foot deep hole on private property in the township ditch to repair a 10 inch steel pipe located in the southeast 1/4 of section 10. Township dash 3 North, range 7 East of Rockford Township. An approved utility permit number 1040 Norris Public Power District will be boring a 7.2 kV electric line encased in 2-inch pipe 5 foot deep for 66 feet under the township road located in the southeast 1/4 of section 8 and the southwest 1/4 of section 9 township 1 North, range 6 East of Paddock Township. And I'll make one other quick comment. Planning and Zoning Board, Eric McCubbin's term is also due, and he gave us a letter that he is not did not want to be appointed again for a new term. But I visited with Lisa Wiggin visited with me, and she requested, or her thought was that we could ask Eric if he would stay on through the wind farm process. And I have visited with Eric yesterday, and he will stay on as many meetings as it takes to complete our wind farm process, what the zoning board is doing, because the thought of Lisa was that he has been attending all of these meetings and he's familiar with it. Didn't know if we'd have somebody appointed in time to have somebody there when they have their public hearing or not. And also, that person would not be familiar and would not have been in any of the discussions. So Eric has agreed to stay on. Hopefully that won't take any more than 2 or 3 months to complete, and then we will, in the meantime, be working on finding somebody new to replace him on the zoning board. So.
Well, then do you want me to put on the agenda next time just to extend his current
extend
term?
Extend his. What do we need to do, I guess, there?
Basically, I would...
Or does he need to resign after that?
I would to keep it clean. I think just reappoint him, yeah, with the idea that he may resign at some point. Because otherwise, we don't have provisions for like what you're talking about.
Right.
I understand they can resign at any point.
Right.
And just reassure him that we're not trying to.
So basically, I mean, he submitted a letter to us that he did not wish to have a new term. So basically, right. We just don't accept that. But reappoint him in January. And then it's up to him if he would like to, after that process, then resign or whatever.
Correct.
Okay. So we will have that on our next our January meeting, because they are having another meeting on January the 14th, a zoning meeting. We'll talk more about that later, but it just that's on here. Anybody else? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Tiemann, and I think Terry's going to talk a little bit later about the claims, why they're as great, why they're approaching $1 million. So, vote 6-0 in favor. Now, I need a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 15120151 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $495.75. That will bring the total for the claims approved to $1,000,000. $333.94.
I make motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, seconded by Lytle. And this is Eric's, he's part of this business, the Beatrice Lawn Care. Vote, 5 in favor and Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Again, I don't see any. I know we'll visit with Galen later. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights.
Nothing really unusual. Still working on the sheriff's office and getting things done over there, but things are progressing as they should be, and we haven't really had anything out of the ordinary, so that's a very good thing.
And equalization, then?
Equalization, we're equal.
And we're equal?
Yeah.
That's a good time to be equal before Christmas.
It is.
Finance.
Myron, originally I was going to go through because the original sheets that we were approved has changed a little bit now. I was just going to highlight some of the larger claims on this. Beatrice Area Solid Waste, the annual amount of funding for Boswa. The county share was $26,496. City Beatrice quarterly EMS service for $45,000. There was a transfer to the road department for $400,000. I'm just picking out the bigger ones. A sand and gravel, township gravel and hauling, $31,000. I'm going to round these off a little. Beatrice Concrete for rock, $13,517. Manili Wagner and Associates for Associates Engineer Consulting, $17,913. NMC Exchange, parts, labor, grader blades, $40,861. And I asked Galen about that, and he's got his stock of blades for next year. Hopefully this will be what we need. In that, the townships also get all their blades through the county because they can get a lot better pricing. So Galen's purchasing blades for the year.
Right.
You know, you get your best deal doing it that way right now. But it isn't just county. And I think the blades, out of that $40,000, I think the blades are $36,000. Dollars or something like that is what the and he's got them stacked down there all over, but it just depends on the year also. But this should
cover the year,
and depends, like I say, on townships, how often they have to run, do everything else. So they purchase blades through the county, and so that's why that sum there is so large also.
And they do pay for their blades.
Yes, they pay for their own blades, you know. And then regional health care was $67,784. Now, and maybe Dawn, would you explain? You've changed your...
Well, the sheet that you guys got on Monday did not include, like, the payroll deduction amounts that had to go to retirement insurance. So that's all the additional figures on there to bring it up then.
In the past, we've never had those salaries.
Well, you've had them once we total it. We do that at the end of each month. We send in our accounts to the...
But I mean, now it's on the... Salaries are listed right here in retirement and everything is listed on
the
sheet. And so that's where like I say, when we approve these claims, well, there's a little discrepancy in regional care, but the total was $770,000.
We had another claim come in, and that's what I mentioned to you at Monday, that we would...
Right.
We would add
had to revise
claim.
That, and that went to $67,784. But the big, I say not the big difference, but the difference is that the wages are added into here now then, too. Correct?
The one we approve at the meeting, Wednesday meetings all the time,
we'll
have all of the wages on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We don't have that originally. We approved the claims
on Monday. No, because we don't know what that is at that time.
On Monday at committee meetings, that's not on there because they don't have the total dollar amount figured out at that time.
Exactly. Okay. So anyway, it's quite a large sum, but there's, I'd say, the main thing is road.
The 400,000
roads goes and
transfer.
Transfer. So.
So that they, in their account, they had in their they had funds.
Yep.
We had a motion this time, right, to approve this?
No, we're still doing committee meetings.
Oh, we're doing committee. Okay.
Oh, man. Not so other than that,
didn't want to go
Christmas,
with.
Myron.
I know I didn't want to go without a motion.
Other than that, I think that basically covers finance. Okay.
Human resources.
We did have some questions and have over the past couple of payment or finance meetings about bills out of the extension office, and I know Myron's been working with them on that, on how they're doing that. But I think we're getting that straightened out. So.
Well, yeah, and then also in committee, a visit a little bit of I passed everybody. I'll just do it here after finance or human resource, however you want it. We've been visiting with extension office out there because of the one position out there, maybe of moving that to the universities because they can be exempt for a salary instead of an hourly wage. And we did. I guess over 2 weeks ago now, Don and I and John and Eric met out there with this Dave Varna, who is our Southeastern Nebraska director, interim director. And he gave sent back an email with, we wanted the cost of what that may cost our county. She would go over to the university side, the cost would still be picked. We currently pick up her all of her cost out here. Move it over to the university side, we would be paying quarterly up there to pick up all the costs because that would still stay with the county. But because of some overtime issues that we're having, we wouldn't have those issues anymore. So Dave did come back here with an estimate, but they approximately, Don's getting numbers together, approximately real similar or close to what we currently are doing. So now we'll see as we visit to see to make sure that these costs are continuing forward. He put in there a couple other things that he needs to check out and to see how that would flow through into their university system and all of that. And then also they're checking out on, I call it the benefits, to make sure they can visit with her out there ahead of time so that, for instance, any vacation that we have here or anything like that, we would need to probably pay out because she would be starting over new on there. Benefit package or whatever. So that we will continue to visit with Dave and see where we come up with a final, I guess, some final more numbers and stuff. It's not just
some of their bills, the way they're presented, get very confusing because you'll have one. Here's one for fuel that they purchased and mileage right below it. So you're paying mileage plus fuel. I've never done that before. So I, you know, we had some questions on why that is, but they're separate vehicles apparently. So
Gary?
Myron, I guess I didn't recognize the interim director.
With the Dave Varna?
Yeah. I would suggest that we need to find out how long interim is going to be. Because I don't want to get halfway through this process, then he disappears, and all of a sudden we got to turn around and start completely over again.
We will visit with him. It's so that everybody, I mean, yeah, so that we're not 2 months into this and then,
right?
No, you can't do it.
Right. Or somebody else comes in and changes all the rules, and we got to more or less start over and how we're going to proceed with that.
Okay. We will visit with him. I don't know how they
might not be an issue, but
good point.
Yeah. So he had three or four things on there that they on their part are checking out to make sure that would be able to basically go from the county to the university. Here again, I think the county is looking at basically the overtime issue what we have out there. It would, for the county's perspective, it now would fall back onto the university and their program. So they would be dealing with that issue and we wouldn't. But I think she can then be on salary according to them, and then there wouldn't be overtime. That issue wouldn't be there, yeah.
They'll probably adjust the salary in some manner.
Well, plus, like Matt had said,
we'll university people are pretty smart.
We'll have a university person under a university person instead of a county employee under a university person.
So we will continue to visit with that, and we'll. I did go out Monday and visit with Paul about that, and then a couple other things too out there. So Paul hasn't had a chance to visit with Jane yet on this here issue. So,
I would like to make one other comment. I think. While we're not by any means down this road completely, but I think this would be a good thing for the 4-H, for that 4-H position also, because, like, just so to speak, Jane, rather than having to try to manage her time so that she's not working all these extra hours when she's working, you know, through the fair and all that stuff, she can concentrate on working on the 4-H stuff and dealing with the kids and that kind of stuff, as opposed to, okay, I worked 12 hours today, now I need to come in late this day so I'm not working 60 hours of overtime in a week and that kind of thing. So I think this would be a good move if we can make it work.
We will continue working on it.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Good.
And And he did send along, I passed that out probably a couple months ago, the copy of the contract, and we'll have the, when we get closer, I got it for Roger if he wants to look at it, but we'll have all the details filled in, but it's what basically the contract that they do with that extension educator person. So
I think, like you said, I think some other counties are probably going to look at this once you guys kind of lead the way as far as makes sense for all the reasons you've already stated.
We're not leading the way. They currently have approximately 40 people through counties on this program. But there are, he said that counties are both ways. Some of them are doing what we're doing. Some of them have done what they have here with this contract. And some of them have switched back and forth each way. So it just kind of depends on what fits the county and stuff. So we're not leading the charge here, so-called or whatever, but it's something that they have available that hopefully it will fit our county. And if it benefits our county, then we'll look at going ahead and do it. But it's something that we'd also all have to approve. So, law enforcement.
Gus gave us several updates on Monday of some different IT stuff that's getting completed and installed in the either sheriff's department or in the vehicles. Couple of things that I did want Gus to kind of step up and just update us again, so that it was in this open session also, is the Shop with a Cop program, which is, you know, historically has been a really kind of a neat deal that we've done, and also the K-9 unit had some discussion about kind of the combination of our what dog we're going to be having and the police department's dog that they're looking at. And I just kind of want Gus to step up and give us the update on both of those again today.
Good morning. Yes, on the Shop the Cop, we did that here last week. I think it was the 15th and 16th. We had, I believe, 12 or 13 kids. And, of course, we take one from each school. The kids have to live in Gage County, but we take from Lewiston and Diller and Tri-County and Wilbur Clay, Tony, kind of, as long as they're in our county. This year, our venue changed, and we take them to a Pizza Hut. They've been gracious enough to give us their venue and provide pizza for the kids, so it went very well there. I was contacted actually late yesterday afternoon, since we met, from a donor that wants to start being a sustaining member in that in the community here and make sure that I have funds available, make sure we keep doing that. He likes to grow with the number of kids we have, and I said, well, depends on how many staff I have available. We can do it. 12 kind of taxes me once in a while, now that I'm a grandpa, but it's a good program. I'm glad I started it, because it really get a lot of support from the community, and it's a good time. So, as far as K-9, I don't know the exact dollar amount right now where we're at. We've had some funds come in. We were out soliciting different organizations and different businesses in town in the county. Our dog is Gary said, a little different. Ours can be just like one we had before. It's considered a drug tracking and protection dog. That's a standard for most law enforcement agencies. The city's getting one. I think they got a lab, I think is what they have. It tracks, is my understanding, but it doesn't do the rest of the duties that our dog would do. And I haven't talked to Chief more on what they're doing with it. I think the plan is to have him really in the community eyes, being out in the schools and with different organizations, whatever. But we'll certainly complement each other with the type of dogs we have. In the past, when we both had dogs, we would try to have our handlers on opposite shifts, so it eliminates the overtime issues. So there's always one available to call when we're working. Now, the difference is we'll just have two tracking dogs, but if they need one in town for a sniff or for drugs or something, we'll have that. And if we need two tracking dogs for some reason, if we're looking for somebody like we were here a couple weeks ago, two dogs we had out there anyway. So I think it'll be a good complement for both of us. Again, it's a big expense, and trying to do it like we did our first program with a dog, a lot of it out of the budget, obviously. The dog alone is about $10,000, and then you got about an 11 or 12 week basic academy for the dog and the handler and the equipment. I just looked at a quote, I think it's about $5,600 for the cage alone. So it's going to be a process. I've told the handler that we're going to get a goal around $20,000-$25,000 before we get really started on it. So it's going to take a while to get that built up. But so it should be. It's going to be well received, I know, because we're needing one badly. I've been trying to get SNFs for the school here the last 6 months off and on, and it's getting more difficult because everybody's so busy with the dogs they have. So the need's on the rise.
But each county doesn't have the dog yet, but you've spoken for it, right?
No. We're not going to do that until we know I have money to pay for the dogs.
Money. Okay.
Yeah, and then dogs always run through the process. The ones we're going to get it through, I think they go over to Europe to get them. The last one we had was from, I believe, Holland, and they're in. They're the foreign language, so the handler has to learn that commands as well. But dogs are always available, so we're going to wait till we got that money.
Do they need an immigration permit?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't got to go that far. You can go over to Ellis. I'll let you have my lab, but all he does is sleep and eat.
Yeah.
If you want a lab, you want a matching set.
There you go, huh?
Breed them.
So, anyway, that's kind of where we're at on things right now.
So are you thinking we're fairly close or halfway as far as the funds go? Or
you know, I was going to look this morning and get a chance to do it where we're at. I'm thinking right now I have one that's probably going to give up to $5,000 in equipment, which is going to help us a lot. That'll go towards probably cage. Dollar amount, I imagine, I'm thinking around $2,500 probably in that area
now. We've got quite a ways to go yet.
Yeah, we've got quite a ways to go. We haven't, depending how the funds come in, if it gets to be a long process, we might maybe do one or two fundraisers to see if that'll help bring in some more on it. Because I'd like to really get it done this next year and have that up and running. Like I say, it is an 11-week course for the dog and handler. So.
And that course is there a certain time of year that the course goes on, or is it?
It's just whenever he has enough animals. We usually have ours go out to the State Patrol Training Academy, and we just train with their handlers out there. It's a pretty good course and accredited. The courts and stuff. So it's just when he sees that he's got enough to have a class, then they'll do it. Last time we had ours out there, he got sick in the 11th week of testing out, and then I had to have him put down. And so we had to hire, get another dog, and then he was on for 22 weeks. He was gone at training. So, but those are things you run into you just can't foresee. So anyway, that's where it's at. So if any of you feel like donating, step on up there and feel free.
I'll let you have mine. I'd like to say Matt's donating no dog. So.
Yeah, get a whole dog.
I told you before, Gus.
Yeah, that's $10,000.
Gus, I told you before, I got a good used German Shepherd.
Yeah.
Or no, St. Bernard.
St. Bernard, that'd be a good one, yeah. That's not kind of rescue we're doing, okay? I'm not carrying that keg of beer. I'm sorry. So, all right. Anything else?
No, thank you, Gus.
I just have a communications. Out at Kearney, when we were there, I did talk to, and I got an email response from a county email from Mike Jeffries from the statewide system, and I had a nice conversation. I was nice.
Did you hear him?
I'd get real close. But they had a couple representatives there, and I talked to them about, you know, my personal dissatisfaction with where we were, and I think some of the operational dissatisfactions that we've seen. I brought up the idea about maybe cost sharing something with this tower. They still have issues down there in the southeast portion of Gage County, and I expressed to them how we're looking at doing something with the Blue Springs Tower. And so I obviously am not going to get any personal obligation by this board or from them, but I did bring up the idea that maybe we can cost share an effort to look at that and not just try and stomach that all ourselves, because they do have an issue with communication down there. So Mike Jeffries had sent me an email, so I'll try to reach out to him or start that conversation, because I don't know where we're at on that, but that communication is still an issue.
Well, that Gary's going to visit about the tower down there in just a second.
Yeah. There's your segue.
That was the one thing in emergency management.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They have always been trying to get a tower somewhere down toward the Pawnee County area, because they have nothing over in that area. So that was a talk. And of course, I've heard nothing since we started our process and got our system. So I don't know where we're at on that. But I know they're looking at doing something with it. But
there's one of the co-op has a tower out there supposedly that they said that they just can't get any traction. And so that was a suggestion I thought I'd bring up as well. They said that might work. But I said, well, I didn't know about that. No, but if there's a way to cost share some of that, because I still think we have issues.
Yeah, on emergency management, that was one of the things that Tim discussed on Monday, and that he's looked into the simulcast system and the possibility that maybe we do not need a tower at all down in Blue Springs, which I think, like you say, this is a good conversation to have, because I'm not either way. I knew that all along. I've been saying that I knew that there was an opportunity for us to just do away with the tower down there and be able to function without it. But on the other hand, I don't know how comfortable I feel going away from having that tower down there. So I think it's a discussion that
I still say that tower's going to outlast any of us, but we have upped the insurance on that, so we have potential for ice.
Yep.
And that makes the conversation a lot easier to do whatever we want once that pays out.
Go ahead, John.
Well, certainly if they would cost share on a tower, and share it, that might change the equation down there, because doing away with it would require replacing all the pagers down there, and not only for Wymore Blue Springs, but for Barnston and Odell. And so there's cost that way, but we'll see what happens.
Again, I brought it up. There was no obligation of this board or them. I just said, maybe we can look at doing that, because they want to try and expand their system. And I was very frank with anyone I met with. I would not sign up with that system until they improve it. And there were several questions at several lunches, and I said, I just don't do it. It's not ready for prime time.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. But Tim was going to try and have Doug maybe in our second January meeting, if Doug could come down, he's going to try and schedule Doug Ostergaard. So if he can come down and visit about the simulcast system down there that might work. We're not saying it will or whatever, though, but that might. And get some information more from him so that we have a better understanding of what we're looking at, I guess. So.
And that's a good point. If they're willing to cost share with that tower, if they understand that we might be going another avenue, and then that chance of even cost sharing with us could go away, and then they're going to have to totally figure it out on their own down the road if they can't figure things out. Maybe it is something that.
Anything else for law enforcement emergency management?
I do not, unless somebody else has something.
Road and bridge.
Well, the top of the list, and I'd like to know, maybe Galen come up here and talk about Adams Northwest Bridge. I know Myron and Eric and Galen went up there to the Board of Standards to try and relax the standards on that bridge, and was unsuccessful. So maybe if you could give us an overview on that, Galen, what happened there?
Yeah, basically we talked to him about giving us a relaxation from the bridge when it was designed back in the, before 2007. It was designed for a HS20 rating. Well, I believe it was the first part of 2008, right in there somewhere, where they changed that and then said now all the bridges have to be designed for an HL93 load rating. Okay. Well, basically, in the request that we had, we asked be able to proceed with the plans that had been drawn up for several years, so we didn't have to have the plans redesigned on this. And the estimated cost to redo that is $8,000 to $10,000 just for the plan redesign. And some figures we heard for what the additional cost would be towards the bridge for the new 93 standards to meet that loading was around $40,000 in that area. Well, with talking with a couple engineers, the whole thing is the The 25 design will carry the same loads as the 93 design, load design on that. Average daily traffic, what we're getting on our local road up there, which is, I believe we said around 80 ADT, and it was projected to go up to like 120 in 2030 or something like that. I don't remember the exact figures. But we had a real good discussion, I thought. We presented our case. One of the things, that, and there's a lot of talk between the board members up there in their discussion where I thought maybe we had it kind of convinced that they might go that way. Well, then one of the, I guess, main things that sticks in my head is brought up, well, we already voted no on this when you submitted that to us back in, the letter, the actually first request went up to them in May, but they did not have a meeting until, I believe, it was in September. And at that time, they denied our request. So, but that's the main thing that sticks in my mind is when they come back, and to me, that was their kind of their main objective. Since they turned it down, they weren't going to vote against it. That's the way I come out of that meeting. So,
The only thing is HL 93 standards, those new standards that came out in 2008 roughly, that was the federal government, or the federal highway. That wasn't the state standard. So that wasn't the state change those standards. That was federal.
Yeah. And one thing that also was in the meeting during their discussion that was brought out, because there's still bridges with that H25 design up there, I say, sitting on their shelf to be built. Okay. And they had a previous discussion approximately a year ago, from what I gathered out of their discussion, was that they were going to come out with a cutoff date that you could no longer put in a request for this. And like I told them, I says, well, at a spring meeting that I attended, one of the state officials there had brought this up at a superintendent's meeting, that if you have any bridges out there with that design, that you need to get in your request, because there is talk that they're going to cap this off and put a time period on it. Well, that has never been done. They even had discussion that said that they had discussed it, but never came up with a deadline that says, you know, at this date, no more. So I kind of took that that should be in our favor also, but it wasn't. So
the more I thought about this, the matter I get to you, it's like we talked about before, it's a non-elected board, it's an appointed board, and they're basically pissing away money. There's possibly $60,000 here, and I think the attitude is, well, those are federal funds, majority of it. 10 grand of that would be ours, and the rest of that's federal money, so why are we upset about it? They made the comment, if this has come to us before, you know, this more or less would have had a relaxation given on it. We're at about 25% of the ADT of what would be low traffic. I mean, we're never going to have a high traffic area. This bridge is going to have the same lifespan. I don't think there's any argument even on that. And I can't remember the guy sitting closer, as Waterman, or the gentleman sitting the closest over
on that end of the
Yeah, he made the comment, our governor's gone through and asked us to be more thrifty or use money more intelligently, basically, get better use out of taxpayers' dollars. And he said this really would be a better use of that. $8,000 to $10,000 could be used for the county better than in redesign of a bridge that was designed in 95. I think it was designed in 95, approved in 98, sat on the state's shelf with minor changes for over a decade. And then Lemoyne Schultz, he said something to Galen, and as you remember in May, then he brought it to us right away. We sent that up for relaxation. And because of an arbitrary time that was never actually set, they never actually set a time that they'd stop relaxations, then they've denied it. In committee meetings, we talked to Myron about talking to Senator Baker, and I think we still need to go beyond that and send. I'm going to send Ricketts a letter. He's the one that appoints these people. The legislature approves or disapproves them, I assume, but he's the one that will appoint these people. I'm assuming all of them are carryovers. But I said they need removed or disbanded. It's ridiculous. they're not using common sense, and that's their only purpose, is to look at this and use common sense. We didn't get one answer, not a single reason for not granting relaxation, unless I completely missed it. But I didn't hear a single reason other than we denied it before. They went as far as to ask for roll call from that meeting and asked how everyone voted, which without us being there, we must not have done too hot, because we got one vote in favor of relaxation last time.
In September, there was one vote, and I don't remember how many they had there, but one voted in favor of relaxing it. The others, they didn't have a full board there that day. It was seven or so, maybe, and it was one in favor of relaxing and seven against it. Well, this time, I think there was nine. Well, they all voted against us this time, so.
Well, and with the conversation, like Galen said, I thought it was all going our direction. I felt pretty good. It's like, well, this was easier than I thought. And then they all vote the opposite. It's like the common sense is out the window again.
Well, and I think we all got the email here. Again, I'm checking my county email that Galen got the letter from Larry Legg, and this was dated, and that meeting was the 18th, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this email came on the 15th. Common sense went out the window, because if you read this, you can interpret that a decision was made before they ever reheard that. And so common sense tells you that they're stuck on a timeline, but practical sense from an engineer says the bridge would be fine. So they're stuck on a timeline, and they're hung up on that, wasting the money, because they don't want to overturn something that they've already done. And this gentleman comes in here to point out that, well, I just want to let you know that we were waiting on you guys, basically waiting on Gage County. And so if you look at the date and the time of this, it's just that for some bizarre reason they don't want to say, yeah, it makes sense, go ahead and do it. They're stuck on a time, we've made our decision, and move on. And so the dates on this just are kind of squirrely. It doesn't make any sense. It's a waste of money.
Well, and they talked about that too, that the I don't remember which one of them brought it up. I'm not familiar with most of these people, but they talked about, well, when was our cutoff date? And they brought that up. Well, we don't have a cutoff date. We talked about having a cutoff date, and then we never did it.
Yeah.
But still, now there's an arbitrary cutoff date that no one knows when it is. It was never set. There's no way that we can abide by that, because it's a make-believe thing in la-la land somewhere that they've just decided we're not going to do it anymore.
Why? I guess the question I would ask at that point is why does there need to be a cutoff date? If we got a bridge standard that's new out there that's overdoing bridges, and we got this old standard that we can continue to use, save counties and states and federal governments money, why does there even need to be a cutoff date? I guess I don't get that.
That was one of the last things then. They said, okay, we need to set a cutoff date. And then the discussion went to, we can't do that because there's applications for this all over where you need that relaxation of standards. So it's not even feasible to have a cutoff date. So there is no cutoff date. It's not feasible to have one because it's not realistic. You need to be able to relax standards based on the situation. But they're still going to have the make-believe one that they can't give to us. They questioned Tim Farmer a little bit on design standards, and they said, well, can't you just modify it? And I'm sitting there thinking, how are you folks supposed to be in charge of standards when you don't even understand the design of what you're... They're ruling on something that they have no idea what goes into it. I mean, you can't just, well, we're just going to tweak this bridge and we're going to extend this pile cap. They're ruling on things that they have no concept of what goes into it.
Yeah. Tim Farmer, Galen and I and Eric and Tim Farmer from Spies Lewis were all there that day. And we all spoke and everything and answered questions. So,
did anybody's head explode? Because I'm sitting here listening to this guy.
I was surprised afterwards. I thought it was a slam dunk.
I think we talked a little bit out in the hall, and I guess we were kind of, by the comments that the committee was making and the questions they were asking, it was looking, I called it positive too, for we kind of all felt that a lot of what their comments and questions were positive for Gage County maybe getting the standards relaxed. And then it was voted, they all voted against it. That's what surprised They made a motion to relax the standards. There was a lady did, and then somebody seconded it. But they made that motion more to get their vote going, and then they all voted, every one of them voted against it. Some of them, the one guy sitting on my side, way on the heavier set guy, you could tell he was more fed up with the fact that we even came back and questioned him, you know. I mean, you can tell by his comments, you know.
He even said, didn't we vote on this already?
Yeah, he made that comment. Didn't we vote on this once already, you know. So, but I would say generally that board, they asked real good questions, but it was like Eric said, every time they asked a question, you know, so that they had some sense of why they would vote against it, those questions all got answered more in our favor than voting against it. And yet when the vote came, it was the other way, so...
And I guess it's quite frustrating, and it looks like it should have gotten relaxed, but I don't know. I'm not sure it's not time to move on. I mean, I think the odds of them changing their mind are not, you know.
We did, and somebody here, I think on Monday, maybe Denny did, had a comment that we should visit with Senator Baker, and I do have a later today. Galen and I are going to have a conference call with Senator Baker just to visit with him about the situation and give our side of the equation here or whatever, so we'll see what
things do have a habit of changing quickly, so you visit with Senator Baker and see what can happen.
So with John's comment there, and pardon the bad pun, that all this is water under the bridge, what is the timeline then if we just decide to
I'll throw this out, and Galen, maybe you can help me remember right. We were originally, you know, scheduled this bridge was going to be bid in 2015, then 2016. Sure. And I think at the meeting there, they said this bridge now is scheduled for bid letting in 2017 to be built in 2018. So we have time. Time is not holding us up or not or whatever. So some of these, I guess, it's... with Senator Baker, we'll visit with him and see what he, you know, we'll get his perspective on it then, too. So, and see if something might happen there or might not. But I agree with Denny. That's a definitely a good avenue to pursue, and we'll visit with him and see what maybe happens. So the bridge itself, there's numerous reasons why it's been in the process it has. But hopefully...
And I haven't had response from Governor Ricketts yet, but if Eric's, I mean, if we have a couple of it, I mean, if we can have conversation with Governor Ricketts too, I think it would be worth
that
discussion.
It was really ironic though, because I mean, the one member of the board there specifically brought it up. Governor, we have a governor that wants us to be more responsible with our money and use these dollars, you know, as frugally as possible so that they're spread out and we can do more infrastructure repair and things like that. And then they're asking us to throw away $10,000 of county money and blatant disregard for another $40,000, $50,000 of federal money, which amazingly still comes from the taxpayer.
The governor has a problem with taking any federal money. And he pushes his people like crazy that we had the Medicaid issue that he cost us millions and millions of dollars in the state. I think it was $20 million because he wouldn't cooperate in that situation. And now we're seeing the same situation. We have tax. We have our sales tax devoted to transportation in this state. And this is such a simple thing to be done, and I'm not sure. I'm guessing the governor has pushed these people hard, and whoever is in charge, I don't know, is in charge of the committee, Department of Roads. I would guess that the Department of Roads executive was probably sitting in the room when this was all going on, and I don't know whether they went to the board then and said, "Hey, don't approve this," but we need to talk to Senator Baker and tell him our problem with this and see what happens.
Well, what we've seen from the governor and the roads department so far is a real push on Kevin Shinowitz, the new director. He is pushing him really hard to push those dollars back to the counties. I mean, at the counties and the cities, we've gotten with that 10% relaxation and that 80-20 split of money down to a 90-10. I think Gage County is going to get $300,000 to $400,000 a year more in that.
Well, gas tax allocation, too, coming.
And then, like, the municipalities as well. They're going to get the higher dollars. If I remember right, Beatrice will be getting $340,000 in 2020. Is that right? Somewhere in there. So, I mean, just in our area right here where our courthouse sits, the municipality will be getting $340,000, $350,000. Plus, our surrounding county will be getting another $400,000. If we can push as much money away from the state and back to us, the decision making, I mean, Matt's made this point again and again. Quick, logical thinking, which it's hard to even say logical thinking in government, but quicker, more logical thinking in a more direct manner versus from the state. I'm really frustrated with this Board of Classifications, I guess. We're seeing some good things like the 3R standards, which are supposed to be coming this way, which that comes from them, but we won't have the same leeway as what the state has. We'll have more leeway, but not the not as relaxed a leeway as the state does. But still, it was frustrating to hear them talk about things and wonder, how are you qualified to even discuss some of this? Okay, I'm done.
But the value and the net benefit of having those dollars will be the process not getting mired down in bureaucracy. And that's what's going to happen is as we get those dollars down, it may be a net wash or a negative benefit because we'll just use those dollars and spend them in bureaucracy. And that's unfortunate. It's good to get the dollars back, but then let's proceed with the safe improvement of the infrastructure. I don't think when we talk about relaxation of standards, I think we should be very clear that we're not trying to make anything unsafe. But it's just let us spend those dollars. Let us finish those things. We've proven down here with Galen and the folks that we've had working on those things, we can get those things done well.
Good. Terry, what else from Road and Bridge yet?
Well, Galen, you did such a good job there. Why don't you go right on to TP Road? Our discussion on that. What's going on there?
TP Road, I talked to Mark a little bit, and he was up talking with Molly, I think her last name is like Bargman or Boardman, something like that, about some other county issues, and he brought up the TP Road and discussed that. And basically, when the township turned that into
FEMA,
and they come down and look at the project originally, and my understanding is the township gave them an estimated amount of money to put that road back, which was $17,000 and some odd change. Well, it's my understanding that the letter went out to the township where the FEMA accepted that dollar amount to go ahead and put the road back. Okay. Well, after we stepped in and we had the road surveyed and found out that the road, part of it, probably about half of it, is actually out in the river. It don't exist. The county or township would have to acquire more right-of-way just to build the road back in there. Okay. Well, what it boiled down to is I talked with Molly on the phone, and she said the only situation the township had to use now was they had until December 27th to file appeal with the FEMA at the state level because it was out of the federal level because federal already said, okay, here's the money. Well, now the only thing they can do is file an appeal with FEMA on the state level and say, hey, we found out we cannot put that road back in for the amount that we submitted and originally signed off on. So they've got to file an appeal by the 27th of December and state their reasons why. And when I talked with Larry, I said, well, your reason, you got it right here by the survey. You cannot build the road there because the property don't exist. You're going to have to get more right-of-way or something else to build the road back. So that's where it is right now in that situation.
So hopefully they'll be able to get the paperwork in and appeal
yes.
that.
Yes.
The township. It's in the township's hands right now and stuff, so.
So was there somebody from FEMA that was actually on site? Did they do an on-site visit on that road?
Yes. Yep.
So they saw that. Okay.
Okay, Gail. Great job. Thank you.
Yeah.
Other than that, we had some discussion on rock issues, availability, things like that. It's a constant problem, I guess, availability of materials.
And Galen said, told me yesterday that Holmesville or that quarry down there now is, they're getting some supply back out of there again. So
after today, it'll probably all be gone.
Yeah, probably. More rain and more, you know, this is about the worst rain you can have on our roads out there, this slow soaking rain. That just, you get constant traffic over it while it's raining, and it just, this is very hard rain on the roads. So we will have more calls, I'm sure, and stuff, so as we go forward. But
what kind of condition are the roads in, Terry?
Well, yesterday pretty good.
Yesterday.
Myron, what's your cell phone number in case anybody needs?
No, they've, a lot of people have it already, so yeah. So anything else for Road and Bridge? One quick other thing. I'll just update everybody a little bit on Hickory Road here. Most of the trees all except for the one property there where we have the fence in, he wanted to use it yet there, so there's three or four trees there. But otherwise, if you go down there, all the trees are all out. So that really has changed the look of that road a little bit. So Galen's, I believe the dirt crew or the crew with the backhoe went out there and took those all out. And to me, they looked like they did a real good job and stuff. That's just me driving by.
And Myron, just one comment I'll make on that. You know, originally the county wasn't scheduled to remove any trees that was in the deal. The county came in and did a good job. I agree with you on that. It looks good. Did an exceptional job on it. And I shouldn't say saved us money, but saved us the removal of somebody else doing it, you know.
Save the cost that we would have paid out of pocket dollars to, because there was a couple bids that Norris had that after we saw what those bids were.
I believe one was $50,000, the other one was $20,000 or something like that. There's quite a discrepancy at the time on the bid.
Our crew was able to do that and save the county some money there and stuff. So, Matt.
Steve Kelly from the city contacted me about some utilities that are going underneath the west edge of that road. Could you contact him? He wanted to know, apparently, when we start to move stuff out there, if there's an opportunity to, I don't know if they want to improve, move. Maybe just he caught me, and I thought next time I saw you, I'd say that. Get a chance to
move. And I believe Manelli's office did some staking out there or some for a lot of the trees and stuff, but there's a few places. I mean, you notice some, I call them stakes out there now or whatever. You can kind of see where the right of way is and stuff. Still visiting with a couple of the individuals on the fences yet. I have come to an understanding with one of them, but the other one there, I've got some ideas. I threw some by Terry here, but next committee meeting, we'll have more discussion on the fences out there. So I see what we come up with. The guy from Beatrice Tecumseh that originally bid on replacing that fence, I had some discussion with him about making some changes on his bid, and he's going to get back with us on a bid on that again and stuff. So by the next committee meeting, we'll have some more things to talk about on the fences out there and stuff. So that's all I had.
Yep.
Oh, Melvin.
You was talking about the county
Melvin.
Road.
Melvin, you need to come up to here. Yeah. All right. Who, yeah, name and...
I think most of you know me.
We do, but the mic doesn't know this box here.
I'm Nolan Altman from Riverside Township. Okay. And you were talking about your roads. I think what those roads went through that last 3 inches of rain we had as a county and as a township, I think they stood up well. You have got with your material sand in that gravel now, and I don't care what you do. You all know what sand turns into when you get it soaked. But Galen has tried on some of your county roads to put rock with it a little to get it to blend, and I think it's working because those roads, the minute they got a little bit dry, so they had a little base, they firmed up quite well. Now, when people talk about bad roads, what are you expecting after a 3-inch road? 70-mile-an-hour road? You know, that's the biggest problem. And with this sand, the motor grader operators are having a harder time keeping the potholes and the ripples out of it. But I think as a county, we got to realize when you're on a gravel road of any kind, you can't drive 60, 70 miles an hour and expect it to be smooth. But I think as a whole, your roads stood up pretty good. Your gravel disappeared, but your roads did all right. That's all I have to say.
No, thank you, Melvin.
Melvin, while you're here, I was going to call you. Actually, though, it's funny you say that with a smooth road. We just had a pickup yesterday come around the corner too quick. and slide off the road right at lunchtime and land on its roof.
Well, that was, you just said the magic word.
Oh yeah, you could
too
see
fast. He knew the road too.
Yeah, I was guessing he probably did. I saw the tire tracks going. The tires were traveling sideways instead of with the
you
road.
You can't build a county or a township road to protect against stupidity.
No.
But on a little different note, that road right there where he rolled off of, and the one that goes straight east and west, I had brought it up that that road that goes north there is a county road. Mm-hmm. The one that catches all the traffic to the highway is a township road. Mm-hmm. And Lilac there, the road that Matt lives on, still gets a lot of traffic. we're going to call you to see if the township would be interested, even interested, not that we're moving forward on it or anything, but just to see if the township would be interested at all in trading that piece of Lilac Road for that north-south road there.
I don't know. I'd talk with the rest of the board members.
Maybe you could visit with them.
But the problem still is that's a heavy traffic road, which we have two or three other miles in our township that have the same problem.
That one just is so odd. From the highway there, you have all that heavy traffic.
A lot of truck traffic now with the new bridge in there.
And you don't have that heavy traffic going north. Well, the county maintains north there, but not out to the highway. So maybe visit with your township board.
The question I have and is, we're on township allotments. That road takes a lot of our allotment. We have several other roads that get outside traffic in our township. And we can lose a lot of gravel because we get, when it rains, we get 2-3 times the traffic that the other roads get. Well, if the county's going to take that over and you're going to put enough gravel on there to protect for that, why can't the township get an extra mile or two for those roads when we need it?
Well, I guess what I had wondered is we could just swap. You'd have the same allotment, same mileage, but you wouldn't have that high traffic.
Wouldn't have the truck
half
traffic.
Mile. You'd have that other one that's just coming from town there, that north-south stretch, little more average for a...
It has lighter traffic.
Yeah.
And understand, this is just a conversation you're having.
Yeah.
This isn't the board making any commitments or representation.
But since you're here, it was a good time to catch you.
Yep. But we have some years with our allotment, we get along just fine when the weather. But there are some years when we get clobbered with a lot of rain, we're just like your county roads. It just disappears because of the traffic. We've got a lot more traffic. We've been on these allotments for 20-some years. We get a lot more traffic.
Well, there is a lot of truck traffic that goes down between the dairy and then also shooting down the Holmesville Bridge from that road still. Yep.
And there's a lot of contractors like you that use it.
Yeah, who lives on East Lilac? I'm on West Lilac. I'm in Lincoln Township.
That's where I always get those two confused.
Yeah. I bet you do.
Thank you, Melvin.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Melvin, I guess if there's two other miles you think need traded, if there's something we can trade for, we'll listen.
Now, my only question is, if county gravel allotment, county tax dollars, regardless if it's a county road or a township road,
right.
Why the townships that lay inside next to the actors that get twice the traffic on some of their roads, not all, just on some of them, why, if the county's going to put it on their road, why can't the township get some of them allotments?
Yep.
If needed. I mean, I'm not saying give us 2 miles more than any other township. I'm just saying if I call Galen up and he knows it's bad, why can't we get it?
And that makes sense too. I will admit to that. You know, as Melvin said, I don't know how far back the allocations have gone, but in the they've been there for a long time. Each township gets so many miles of gravel every year. And they vary from, as we spoke, from probably about 8 all the way up to 12, depending on the traffic, the townships. Traffic patterns have changed. So it's something that we probably should look at.
I think that's a real good conversation, again, when we talk budget, because what I think we, most of us would agree, we'll give you 2 more miles. The issue comes always back to money, and how do we fit that in the budget?
That. Yeah. I understand that. And even you guys, you got to budget this a year ahead.
Yep.
And so it's kind of difficult to do that. But I've been on the township board 35 years, and I've been working with allotments all the time, and our allotments have not went up.
Have not changed. And you have a very good point compared to in the 70s or 20, 30 years ago or 40 years ago. Most of our roads have had increased traffic. I mean, you just look at the highways, you know, Highway 77, it used to be two lanes, and now it's 4 lanes, and you still wonder or amazed at all the traffic. So the traffic has increased, and it will continue and stuff. So Gus has that same problem back there, though. He keeps having increased population over here at the jail, and he keeps sticking out his hand, too. So
I've offered ways we can help with that.
Yeah, yeah. He's not listening to you either, so no.
Myron?
Yes.
One comment I want to make. You want to know something about roads? Melvin knows his roads.
Melvin knows about roads. Yeah.
Well, and just even though we chuckled about it, you did say something that's very important and about the stupidity and people driving goofy on our roads is that they are gravel. It's basically driving on marbles, and we talk about speed a lot, and you know, Gus is behind you, and it's just people when they're out on those roads, they gotta slow down, watch the corners. They're not paved roads, folks, and they're dangerous. So I appreciate your comments.
You can't build a gravel road, I don't care which county or which township it is, for 60, 70 miles an hour. They have to learn to drive according to condition of the road. Period.
Yep. You use those roads to get to a hard surface road and take the hard surface road. Yeah.
Thank you.
One more thing for Road and Bridge. I did have 2 people talk to me yesterday about weight limits on roads. And
they both your drivers?
They weren't. I did. I talked about trying to extend the life of them, so I did talk about that part of things. I said, I don't know that. That tone may be changing some. I guess I've kind of stayed quiet on that for quite a while. I can see both sides of the coin. It's always nice to be able to run legal, but at the same time, we don't have money to fix those asphalt roads once we do beat them up.
Well, when we posted those county roads at that time a year ago, whenever we did it, our mind was, you know, try to protect them as long as we can. I know it's an 80,000 limit, and that, and it's posted that way. There's no overload permit during the fall and everything else. I guess our mindset, and that's something we'll discuss this spring, was let's see what kind of shape these roads in a year. If they're standing up good, holding up good, maybe we can do something different. And I've had a lot of comments on it, too. The main thing is I think we probably did wrong when we posted those roads is didn't really account for triple axles. My contention is those triple axle trailers are probably do less damage to a road than the tandems that's allowed to carry quite a bit more weight. You're looking at 42,000 for 3 compared to 34,000 for 2, you know. And one of those 2 could even be a single tire. There's where your damage comes in. So anyway, yeah, I think there's some things we have to look at there and make a few changes, but as it sits right now, I'd like to go through spring and see what condition the hard face roads are in the spring, and then look at it and see if we can make some changes.
Okay.
And he made the comment, one of them, they had been ticketed. They talked to the county attorney, and they said he was pretty fair with them still. So.
Yeah. Okay, anything else?
That.
If not, next up on the agenda, Abby?
I didn't hear you guys.
You're here for Gage County Tourism Report.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
Abby Shademan with Gage County Tourism. I'm just here to give my quarterly report and update you guys on what I've been working on and what's the plan for the future. I hope you all have a copy of the report I sent. The first page is just kind of bulleted points of what I've been up to. If you have any questions or need me to expand on anything, just let me know. Otherwise, on the second page, I just kind of listed out some things that I've been working on. The Nebraska Travel Conference, I attended that back in October, and the Homestead Quarter Launch was awarded the Outstanding Tourism Campaign by the Nebraska Tourism Commission. We beat out two other tourism campaigns in the state of Nebraska, so it was a pretty big honor. There is a plaque out at Homestead National Monument if you guys are out there and want to check it out. It looks really neat. An update on the Cowman's Ball. There will be a tour that will be coming through on June 3rd, and they will be seeing Homestead National Monument and be eating at the Black Crow and visit Yesterday's Lady. So we're looking about 45 people will be coming through for that. So for Trail Treasures, I served as the Gage County coordinator for the event. We had 23 registered vendors in Beatrice with more in surrounding communities in Gage County. The event was a success. I don't know if you guys drove through town that first week in October, but there's a lot of sales going on. So, and Beatrice had one of the largest vendor attendance along the Heritage Highway 136 that went from Brownville to Indianola. An update on the solar eclipse. We're doing planning meetings. Right now they're taking place on the fourth Tuesday each month. If you're interested in being involved, go ahead and contact me. Otherwise, we are currently in progress of creating a website and coordinating all the events. For tourism, our print advertising has done very well. We've definitely seen results from that. I spoke with Homestead National Monument, and they said that they are on track for their second highest year in attendance. Right now they're at 75,500 visitors as of the end of November, so kind of amazing. And their first year for attendance was back in 2012 with the Homestead Act, 150th, so that was about 100,000. So, but it's great that we're at the second year. The Nebraska Tourism Commission, they will be visiting Gage County January 15th. They'll be seeing the different attractions throughout Gage County, including the Great Plains Welsh Heritage Museum, Rice Lodge and Conference Center, Homestead National Monument, the Gage County Museum, and Flowing Stone Art Gallery. So it was an invitation for new staff since they hired about four new people this year. So definitely wanted them to come on down since we're about a 45-minute drive from Lincoln. And otherwise, just my meetings that I'm involved in, Southeast Nebraska Travel Commission, Heritage Highway 136. I'm now both secretaries for those organizations, so I like to write, apparently. I'm involved with the Homestead Days Planning Committee, Cowman's Ball, Solar Eclipse, Gage County Tourism, Friends of Carnegie, Beatrice Area Arts Council, and Young Professionals. So, do you guys have any questions that I can answer?
I got a question, probably relates to this, but
okay.
The tourism grants and stuff that we give out, I believe that fund has increased quite a bit. I know several years ago it was low,
mm-hmm.
and at least some of the comments I hear is there aren't as many people applying, or what? Help us out there, I guess. Just a little bit about that.
Well, I guess just with what I know, I've had a couple people come in and are wanting to apply, so I think it's...
You have lately, okay.
Yes, so I think it's just a matter of them getting me back the applications and getting having the advisory committee review everything, so... But yes, I do know that fund is pretty...
Well, it's over 100,000 or something.
Yes, yeah.
Stuff, so yeah. And at one time they were down 30, and which is good to have that, but at the same time, how do we, I guess, encourage or get people aware of it so that...
I think the Chamber and Tourism have both taken note of that, and we'll probably be hearing from them this year on the...
I'll be back.
See some coming this year. Good.
And Eric, okay. East Lilac is not a scenic byway.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there.
Can't apply.
That's almost like a little
sure it is.
A little drop into the sure the sandhills on part of that over there.
I think maybe we need to put that in our revenue area with the revenue request to come back to our budget, maybe.
We're not going to do like some other government agencies.
Oh, okay. I
kind of
see.
Tap
all
into
right.
that. They're not using it so we can tap into it. No, we're not going to do that.
No, there probably will be some requests coming realistically for that. from maybe the chamber directly and some other things.
Mother's Cake. Mm-hmm. No, Gary?
I think I paid my membership yesterday, as a matter of fact, and would encourage everyone else to become a chamber member and support our Gage County Chamber. Right? How was that, Abby?
That was great.
That's what you told me to say.
Yeah, and Gary?
Perfectly scripted.
I'm the ex officio that sits on their board, and Abby and Laura and the board as a whole do a good job. One thing that you didn't have the financials here for everybody to look at. I'll try and get my copy and get it in here so everybody sees it. Currently, it's sitting at about $180,000 in that fund.
100 and what?
180.
Mm-hmm. 180.
Right, like 176 wow. or something like that.
Something.
And the revenue the last 3, 4, 5 months has been really well. You know, originally we thought with the construction companies out there that there wouldn't be a lot of revenue coming from them because they're extended stays. But just so happens that it's worked out that it's been good. So,
good.
There is dollars out there, and there has been a lack of people coming forward wanting or having projects to do. I do know of a couple that I think maybe YRI is looking at doing something again, and there's some other people I know out there that are looking at it, but it's just been hearsay or talk so far, so mm-hmm. hopefully we'll start to see that, because really that money's there is
to,
there
to use
yeah yes. to bring people to the town, yes. And if we're not spending it
right
on projects
and I'm not suggesting that we spend it, but at the same time we need to make the county and the people aware of that fund is there, and that's there's a purpose for it, mm-hmm. to help increase tourism.
Now one of the things that and Laura's not here to discuss it today, but I know she will be coming to discuss it. One of the things that we have discussed is, and we discussed this last year too, is spending more dollars on
promotion.
Promotion and marketing, mm-hmm. and marketing. And I think definitely what we spent last year, I think was a good spend. And there's been some discussion expanding that some more. And I think probably there's reason to look at it very hard. So it'd be interesting when Laura comes with her expanded marketing.
Good.
Yeah, and we're working on that too now. So.
Yep, they are. She's told me that the last 2 months that it's coming. she reminds me all the time that it's coming. And one of the things they did was they ran some ads on Pandora, and the hits that they were getting on it, it's pretty amazing. And Pandora was even pretty impressed by what we were getting. So,
wow. Good.
But I've told Laura, and everybody has their own opinion. I've also told Laura that I think it's important that we don't spend $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year on marketing, blow that fund out the door, and then we don't have money there for the projects that need to be done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a balancing act. So,
yep.
But there are two funds. There's the promotion and the improvement within that. There's visitors promotion, visitors improvement.
Visitors promotion goes to them for their operations. Right. The improvement is for the grants.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I guess that's right. I mean, half of it is already on the promotion side, so, you know.
But if you remember last year, we spent some more marketing dollars out of the other fund for promotion.
Yes.
Right.
We did.
I don't think we want to increase that too much, considering half of it's already on that side.
That's a good discussion that we will have.
Yep, sounds good.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Appreciate you coming and everything, and giving a report.
Yeah, no problem.
Anybody else? Go ahead.
I would move that we put the file on.
Report on file.
The report on file.
Yeah, but I guess the one thing I would suggest is that with the financials, I think the financials need to be.
We'll include those in that that report on file when we get those.
Even though we don't have them on hand, we can do that, can't we?
To include those.
And as long as you provide copies to everybody.
Right.
And then provide copies to everybody.
Otherwise, we can't.
Thank you.
Can't miss them.
We have a motion.
And I can send those too, so.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Right. Abby, if you would get them moved on. That way I don't forget.
Yes, I can do that. Not a problem. So.
Thank you.
Of course. So.
Right away, because
thank
he forgets real easily. So.
Yeah.
We have a
right away because he forgets real easily.
Yeah. What's my name?
Jerry. We're glad, Jerry.
We have a motion by Lytle, second by Byers to place the report on file.
That was good.
Both.
Good.
7-0. Anything else? We are going to have a closed session, an update on litigation, and I don't see them yet, but they're going to be coming. Our Beatrice Six attorneys are going to be coming here. We're going to visit about that latest ruling and where we maybe proceed with that. And we also sent an email to Roger so that with a constructor's letter, we're going to visit some more about that. Those are the two things we're going to discuss. Won't be any decisions coming out of that. So, and yeah. Well, yeah, let's take a recess until our legal counsel comes, unless you want to. Yeah. You're trying to contact them?
Well, that's what I was going to give him a call, because I left a message with Jennifer.
Jennifer.
After I talked.
Okay. Is it Matt's birthday?
And, well, I noticed you already had the.
He might have called me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I just.
Hey, Scotty.
So
I didn't get it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Okay, we're going to go on record and bring it back into.
We'll come back from recess at our meeting here at 10:14. We'll entertain a motion to go into closed session at 10:14.
I would move to go into closed session. I saw these attorneys come through the door.
Hey, you better.
Oh. Okay. We have a motion to go into closed session for. Need to go into closed session for the. Necessary for the protection of the public interest.
Just leave it open for a second.
Interest. Or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
You're supposed to know how we do these things.
So moved. Come on.
Second. We got buyers for first.
Got buyers first.
Give me a second.
Second.
Motion by buyers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 7-0, closed session at 10:14, 10:15.
Now you're good.
Now we go.
Okay. We're out.
Now I want to move to come out of executive session.
Second. We have a motion and a second to come out. Motion by Thiemann and second by Bauman to come out of executive session at 11:17.
Now I'd finally like
vote.
To.
We have to vote first. Vote 7-0 to approve. Now, Eric, you got a comment?
I forgot. Oh. No, I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Right back to you.
I think the whole board would like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, although I've
happy birthday.
Second session, we're all out.
Yes, yeah. Matthew.
I made it another year.
Roger had one.
You got a couple more days to go.
One other quick comment. Oh, we will, in January, at our first board meeting, January, we will have reorganization again. Don informed me. So.
Yep. So we'll be voting chair, vice chair, that meeting.
So. Stuff. So usually we set up the committees the meeting after that, but. When I visited with Matt a little bit, and Matt said he just cannot do the engage board, so visiting with some others and stuff, see here, one thought, kind of had a little bit, I don't know if John and Eric, or I don't know how much Gary wants to commit to it, but otherwise, I think we're to the point we even need to have two committed to that. The mayor's always there. They always have their rep. The mayor's always there. So that way we have one there, because I really think it's very important we always have one there. So.
I wouldn't mind continuing to be the second, I don't want to be the primary.
Well, then I'll visit with John and Eric and see where we go, and so we get a person that, and I would love to have Matt on there, but Matt just we realize what's going on there, and it just doesn't work. But we need to have that.
There's no reason that we can't have that person come back and relay what's going on at each meeting. That's what we used to on the city council in the old system.
Yeah.
That person would go to the meeting and they'd come back and regurgitate what they heard. I mean,
and we could
we can do that to keep everybody up to speed too. Yeah. I mean, we should do that.
Maybe we need to include under the committee reports as engage committee report.
Probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
It wouldn't be bad. That way it's on here and we remember it. Otherwise, we don't always remember.
You're right. Good idea.
Because I like today again. Some of these things you just don't. If I don't write them down, I don't always remember. So, anything else for the good of the order?
Maybe we need to create a committee that just says outside committee reports. Then some of you are on RC&D, some of you are on
right.
So that if you have any
put that
of the
after
other
the road
ones,
bridge, okay.
Yep. Outside
then
committee.
Then we'll know what it's for.
Okay.
Yep. I still think we should move human resources and employee relations to before finance on Mondays.
Oh,
There hasn't been any traction.
But we only have
on Mondays. I vote for starting at 8 o'clock on Mondays. So.
Yeah. We'd start at 5. Look how much we could get done, though.
Yeah. Good enough. If not, Matt?
I just want to say one thing. Last meeting of the year, this is Danny and I's end of our seventh year, and I'll say that I really enjoy working with this board, and I don't care if they're here or not. I don't care if this is on. I'm just saying this to everybody here. I enjoy working with Roger. I enjoy working with Don. I enjoy working with everyone. We've had people come and go in these chairs, and I think this is a very effective board. We operate very well. We're respectful of one another, and I appreciate that.
And I would absolutely, totally second that. The feeling of people, even if we have differing opinions, we treat each other with respect. And we listen and we help each other. And this is one of the best boards that I've ever sat on. And we do have a wonderful county attorney who advises us. And I might just go across the hall and file for re-election. I just might do that.
Until February 16th is the deadline.
Yeah, comments have until February 16th.
We're talking to Beatrice about how county and city works. I said, this is really surprising how easy it is to discuss things.
Didn't used to be.
Survive the recall.
It's gotten better. Meeting is adjourned. Yeah, really. We'll see everybody in the new year.